There are a lot of chocolate addicts in the world. Maybe you're one of them. You can have dark, bittersweet, or milk. You can put it in your coffee or on top of your ice cream. But a worldwide cacao shortage is making a lot of people nervous. And one option to fill part of the void is popping up in Hawaii. And with me to talk about chocolate production off the U.S. mainland is Nat Bletter, owner and, yes, flavormeister at Madre Chocolate in Oahu. And he's with me via Skype. Nat, first of all, why is Hawaii growing as a place that can have an impact on chocolate production?
It is the only place in the U.S. where you can grow cacao. So if people want, you know, American-grown chocolate, this is a place to do it because we are the furthest south. Hawaii has a long history with great agriculture of tropical crops, sugarcane and pineapples and coffee. And now cacao is on the rise along that trend. There's a lot of great what we call terroir with cacao in Hawaii. And terroir is just a French word for terrain or land that we borrowed from winemaking, where they say that, you know, a wine, say like a Pinot Grigio grown in different parts of the planet, will taste completely different, even if it's made exactly the same way, just because of what the soil and weather contributes to the flavor. And that's true with cacao all around the world, and especially in Hawaii, because we have so many little microclimates. Every valley is completely different.
And how significant is cacao, is chocolate to Hawaii right now? I mean, without a shortage in other places, would this have been an opportunity that Hawaii could have grabbed in some sense? Is it already grabbing it to some, you know, even with what you do?
It will never be huge in terms of quantity, because there's just not that much available arable land in Hawaii. You can only kind of do it below 2,000 feet where it stays warm enough. So that means you have to stick to this ring around the edge of the islands, and it loves a lot of rain and low winds. So that usually means you can only do it on the rainy east side of the islands. So we're never going to have a huge quantity. Price is never going to be very low because, you know, labor and all the inputs in Hawaii are extremely expensive. So it's only going to be based on quality that we're going to really thrive in this market. And so that's what we're all striving for in nailing great varieties, productive varieties, and really flavorful varieties that we ferment really well. So it's mostly about the post-harvest processing, as we call it, where we ferment, dry, and age the cacao. That's really how we're going to make it shine.
And is it going to be chocolate that is for the masses or more of a specialty market?
Almost definitely a specialty market, just because we're never going to have the quantity super high, I'd say. But it is started to win many awards. My company, Madre Chocolate, won the first award for Hawaii-grown chocolate about 4 years ago for a Big Island Javi Criollo. So we started to put Hawaii on the map for its chocolate. And then just last year in 2017, in October, Hawaii won 2 Cocoa of Excellence Awards for the first time ever in France. And so the 2 of the Hawaiian cacaos were deemed to be in the top 18 cacaos in the world. Wow. Just because of the way that we'd fermented them. And we've been working with this farm on the north shore of Oahu, 9 Fine Minas, where we fermented their cacao. And so we're really trying to work with all the local farmers to nail that ferment, a part of chocolate processing that most people don't even know exists, yet it is probably the biggest contributor to taste in the chocolate. We need to get it going really well, and it is hard because Hawaii is so cold for cacao, so that ferment doesn't always go the way you want it to.
How often does that happen? And what, when it doesn't ferment the way you want it to, I imagine it's just, is it a complete waste at that point? Can it be saved?
If it goes really bad and starts smelling like wet socks, no, you probably don't want to make chocolate with it, because I've added a lot of weird stuff to chocolate in my days, as have other people. You know, from bacon to kimchi to pig's blood, but I can tell you that wet socks is not a good chocolate flavoring inclusion.
Point out, I'm not really sure I ever would have thought that pig's blood sounded tasty, but compared to wet socks, it really does.
Right, exactly.
If all goes well, and if people look to Hawaii for more of this because of the cacao, how big could the market get?
That's a good question. It is a pretty small crop right now. Like, I think all of Hawaii's cacao output would be less than a sort of medium-sized farm in, say, the Dominican Republic, which is now the largest exporter of cacao in Latin America. But people are planting like mad, and it's nearly doubling every year as the number of cacao trees planted. So it'll hit a limit, definitely, as we run out of land, and the land is quite expensive. I think we could, get into a few hundred tons a year. We're never going to get anywhere near even places like Papua New Guinea that are doing like 4,000 tons a year, just because of the cost and the limited land. But that, 100 tons a year is still going to be enough to make about 2 million chocolate bars a year. So that still get out to people pretty far and wide.
Nat Bletter is the owner, and we repeat, flavor meister at Madre Chocolate in Oahu.